All right, AOC back in the news. We're talking about her for a second day in a row here because she says that they can push, her words, not mine, push Joe Biden further left, more progressive. We'll show you the clip. We'll talk about it. Minneapolis, man, they're kind of rethinking that whole let's dismantle the police thing. Crime is surging, and they're literally asking, where are the police? We've got the answer for them. And then Fox News keeps pushing further left. We've seen it. We're going to show you a real bizarre, if you haven't seen the clip already, a real bizarre interview that had Newt Gingrich, former speaker, with the ladies of Outnumbered. George Soros comes up and it gets weird. Let me tell you, folks, it gets weird. Plus, former SEAL Team 6 member, author, Justin Sheffield is going to drop by, talk about his book and a whole lot more. It all starts. But... All right, folks, it's Thursday. Damn glad to be with you. As always, I'm always happy to see you, spend some time with you. Hopefully you feel the same way. But let's start off with some anger, right? Because it's 2020. Lots of the stuff that's out there is upsetting. It's frustrating. And this story here, like so many others, shows how weak we've become as a country. It irks me. But conservative students at Baylor University, great university down in Waco, Texas, they've had some issues with their football program, with the coach and some of the stuff there, but we won't get into that. But a great university. And conservatives, this is not the first time they've done this, by the way. Conservative students have gone and created a memorial on 9/11 to honor the victims of that tragic day. And they put out 2,977 mini U.S. flags, stick them into the ground, and pay their respects for what we can all agree was an awful day. Worst terrorist attack in the history of our country. And again, this is something that's not new. They've done it for years, but apparently it was too much for the campus community. And they thought that students couldn't emotionally handle what this memorial would represent. You can see a picture of it here or some footage of it here. And they put out signs to advise people that sensitive content is on the other side. That's what they're talking about right there. The flags. If you're listening, it was 2,977 little flags pushed into the ground with a white, cheaply made, by the way. If you're going to make a sign and be all social justice warrior, at least spend some money and do it right. But there's a sign there saying sensitive content. Please be advised, sensitive content. Because you've got to warn kids these days. You've got to warn them so they don't get their feelings hurt. It's absolutely ridiculous. You know, if you're offended by honoring victims of the most vicious, evil event in our nation's history, you need to get out. Like, you don't belong here in the first place. If you can't handle that kind of a feeling, and when emotion comes over you like that, and you're angered that we're celebrating those people, you don't belong here. You don't bring value to our society. You just don't. But this generation, man, I tell you, they're so easily offended. They're so butthurt. Speaking of butthurts, because they weren't spanked as children. They weren't spanked. They weren't told no. They were given participation trophies. And now we're having to placate and figure out how to navigate through life without upsetting this generation, who, why we're even catering to them, I don't know, because most of them are going to bring no value to society. It's a race to get past this generation and just hope that the next one's better. Hope that the next one loves America. Hope that the next one respects elders. Hope that the next one respects law enforcement and government officials, whether they agree with their politics or not. And that they don't get their feelings hurt when people celebrate and honor the victims of 9/11. Ugh, drives me crazy. Something that doesn't drive me crazy, though, and a way that you can help push back against that is Mammoth Nation, guys. It's America's conservative discount club, and they are on a mission to reelect President Donald Trump and keep liberals out of office. These guys really mean it. They really do. I wouldn't say it if it wasn't true. So you can go to mammothnation.com right now. It's $19 a year, excuse me. And here's what you get. You get, I tell you this all the time, but I'm going to reiterate, you get great discounts on all sorts of stuff. So it's better than a donation. You're going to damn near, if you don't for sure, pay for your annual subscription with your first purchase. You're automatically entered into the Mammoth Election Day sweepstakes. There's great prizes in that. 65-inch Samsung TV, Keurig coffee maker, Bose speaker. Winners are going to be announced on Election Day, and you're automatically entered. All you got to do is sign up. And if you join right now as a lifetime member, if you sign up as a lifetime member like I am, they will send you, all that stuff is true, and then they'll also send you a Trump flag and some other goodies. So head on over. It's mammothnation.com. Join the fight so we can make change and keep the people that we need in office in office. All right, let's cruise the headlines. So this guy's got a great name. We've talked about him before. Definitely run lots of articles about him on the site. But Helmut Norpoth, and maybe I'm saying that wrong. I mean, no disrespect. If you're on my bad list, then I don't care. But this guy's a sharp guy. So he's a professor of political science at Stony Brook. And five out of the last six U.S. presidential elections, have been called correctly by him. He's got a different model in how he does it. Some would say it's controversial, but he's accurate. Five out of the last six. He didn't get the Bush-Gore one in 2000, which was super tight, but he's been right with darn near everything else. And actually, when they go back and look at the data, analysts say that I think it's 25 out of the last 27 elections he's gotten right. But he is coming out and saying that President Trump is not only going to win in November, but that he's going to win in a major landslide. So, and you can see this, right? I mean, there's obviously the polls that are out there are doing everything they can to scare people from voting and thinking that it's already in the bag for Biden. So what's the point? He's going to win anyways. When that's not really true, they're trying to encourage and lift up their candidate to Democrats and individuals in the middle who maybe we can grab them because it seems like there's momentum there. And then people see him talk. They see him try and talk, I should say. And it goes horrible. We show clips of it every day. But this is really interesting because you can see when you look at the violence that's happened across the country, you look at how bad of a campaign the Biden-Harris ticket is, or as they've called it this week, each of them on their own accord, the Harris-Biden ticket, which is funny. You can see how people are like, no. Yes, there's lots of individuals who do not think President Trump is presidential, but they are not going to vote this way. And that's why you've got a lot of that happening, because the conservatives were going to vote for Trump in the first place. Sans a small few. But it's always these big cities who, of course, the metropolitan areas that go Democrat. And a lot of them are on fire. I don't know if you've noticed that, but they're literally on fire. People are being murdered. Businesses destroyed. Livelihoods destroyed. And it's waking up a lot of people who were more center or center of left saying, you know what? I'm not down with this. And that alone is going to start to swing some of these metropolitan areas in different ways. It's going to have, key counties in the swing states across the country that start to go for Trump and law and order. Because, again, you don't have to love Trump. You just have to say, I would prefer law and order over the next 4 years. And then we'll figure out how to get on track. If you don't like where it is, you at least can see, okay, I got to get through this four more years. And it's better than Biden. It's better than them going radically to the left, which they would, and segues right in to this next story. So good news on that poll. Let's hope that Helmut is right again. But segueing into this other one, the fears of going left, the visual representation of seeing cities on fire, law enforcement officers under attack, all of that is awful. But and one of the biggest concerns is not that Joe Biden's awkward, not that he can't talk, not that he sniffs and gropes women and children. That's all awful. It's not even the violence that's in the streets right now, which is definitely awful. It's where he could take our country's path and where he could kind of start to lead us down, which wouldn't be him leading it. It would be him being puppeted around by people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, the far left radicals of the Democrat Party whose voices shaking things up. It's gotten a lot louder, and establishment Democrats are no more. And if they're still there, which they're still there, there's many that are still there, they don't have a voice and they're scared to speak up. So AOC, she caught up with, and I'm switching our order here, but AOC caught up with, or an anchor caught up with her, I should say, and they were walking in the Capitol Hill area. And I'll let you just listen to the conversation, but you can see the concerns are real. that people are going to push, her words, not mine, Joe Biden in a certain direction. Roll the clip.
So Senator Sanders seems concerned that Vice President Biden is not progressive enough. Do you share those concerns at this point in the campaign?
I mean, of course I do. We're different people, and clearly in the primary, one of the reasons why I was supportive of Senator Sanders was because of how progressive his stances are. But, you know, the primary is over. And right now, what is most important is to make sure that we ensure a Democratic victory in November and that we continue to push Vice President Biden on issues from marijuana to climate change to foreign policy, and making sure that we continue to fight for a progressive agenda in our future.
What would be the main issue? You think it's climate, where he needs to be more progressive, or is there another one that you think is at the top of the list?
You know, I think overall, we can likely push Vice President Biden in a more progressive direction across policy issues. I think foreign policy is an enormous area where we can improve. Immigration is another one. Criminal justice is another area where we can pursue a lot of progressive direction. You know, there are some areas where we just fundamentally disagree, but that's okay. You know, I think it's important to acknowledge that we can have, in some cases, very large disagreements. It doesn't mean that we're trying to undermine the party or undermine each other. It means that we're trying to do what's best for people in the country.
Have there been a specific policy recommendation that you've given the Vice President? Because I know you've been involved with the climate issue directly with the campaign.
Yes. So I've served on the Climate Unity Task Force with former Secretary of State John Kerry, that ultimately advised the Biden campaign. And I'm very happy to say that, you know, that the Biden team was very open, particularly on the issue on issues of climate, to advancing and adapting their stances. Now, I think there are other areas that are going to be trickier to push them in a progressive direction. I think that, you know, they're pretty stubborn on healthcare. and we'll see what progress that we're able to make on issues like immigration and criminal justice reform. One perfect example is that I believe in the legalization of marijuana, not just decriminalization, but full legalization, regulation, etc. But, you know, we will hash those out. Our main priority is to make sure that the Vice President is successful and victorious in November so that we can have those kinds of conversations in the first place from a more effective stance with him in the White House.
He wants a federally mandated public option. He wants to federally control the public option and have them run at the government. Do you agree with that in terms of healthcare, that direction?
Well, you know, I'm a supporter of Medicare for All. One concern I'd say that I have with the public option is that
you could see earlier on in where she talked about we're gonna push him here, we can push him here. She touches her mask way too much. Way too much mask touching going on there. I don't really care. It just gets annoying because you're doing it every 2 seconds. Maybe you need to change one, I don't know. But you can see, and that is the fear. The fear with a Biden-Harris administration is you've got an unlikable, ill-qualified vice president candidate in Kamala Harris. So the next step down from Joe is disastrous. But then she's way more radical than Joe. Joe doesn't know where he is. And between her, AOC, the rest of her squad members, Ilhan, Rashida, Ayanna, all them, Bernie, Elizabeth, they're going to push. And if pushing doesn't work, they're going to bully Biden. Should he win? He won't. Should he win, they're going to push him down a direction that he can't really push back against, and the rest of his party can't push back against. And if they control enough of the government, then that's a big problem for us on the conservative side. That's a big problem for people who want the traditional values that our country was built on to remain intact, that want how we operate now, although not perfect, to remain in place. So Interesting to hear AOC say it. We knew that's how things were going, but it's people are being more emboldened. And she, remarkably, as a bartender in her first term as a congresswoman, it's still mind-blowing that she is one, thinks that she's got a lot of weight and people are going to listen. And you know what's scary? She does. She's like the least experienced person in D.C., but people listen to her. There's a movement behind her for whatever reason. I don't know why, because there's nothing logical about almost anything she says. But it's she's one to watch, and as much as we love to make fun of her, and she gives us ample opportunities to do so, she's one to keep your eye on. All right, something else to keep your eye on. I talked about this in the cold open. So Minneapolis, back in June, I think it was, city council voted to put a resolution in place and go with a community safe model, whatever the hell that is. Dismantle the police. You've heard calls from Ilhan Omar. The city council literally voted and said, yeah, we don't need them. Jacob Frey has been a disaster of a mayor. The whole city erupted in chaos and fires after the death of George Floyd. But now, it's so funny, and you could see this coming, right? You should have seen this coming. Lord knows they should have seen this coming. Crime is up in Minneapolis because there's not the same kind of law enforcement presence. It's funny how that works. They're saying that the number of reported violent crimes like assaults, robberies, homicides are up compared to 2019. According to Minneapolis Police Department crime data, more people have been killed in the city in the first 9 months of 2020 than were slain all of last year. Burglaries, thefts, all that are up as well. Arson is up 55%. That's an obvious one. You can literally, you've seen huge buildings burn. Small businesses burn. So now they're saying, where are the police? Like, why aren't people responding to these crimes? Like, what do we do about this? And it's literally so ironic. I mean, this along with so many other things that we've seen out of the Democrats this year, whether it's their proxy groups, you know, Antifa, Black Lives Matter on the street, the politicians at the federal level, the state level, or right down here at the city level with these city council folks. They decide, hey, we hate police. We don't want you. But then what? Guess what? When something bad happens, who do they call? Police. We don't want police anywhere else. But you know what? You've got to protect our house because we're a local official. We're important. We're more important than the normal people. And then crime starts to go up and people say, hey, we want law and order here. We don't want our city to go to shambles. We get that you're upset about the Floyd thing, whether you should have been or not, but we get that you are. But then stuff starts to go wrong. It starts to go really, really wrong. And you say, wait a minute, where are the police? That's right. We said we don't like you. We don't need you anymore. We're going to go with a different model that everyone with a brain, including my dog, who's not even a year old, he's a puppy, knew was not going to work. Like, this is not hard, guys. This is not hard. But I find it so remarkable that they are now asking that question. Oh, that's what we're up against, folks. That's what we're up against. They're vicious. They're loud. They're not smart, but they're vicious and they're loud. All right. Hey, well, we've got you. Be sure to give us a like on Facebook, Twitter, Parler. Go to drewberquist.com. You can see there for your news commentary. You can watch the show there as well. Definitely appreciate your readership there. If you haven't done so, Facebook, Twitter, Parler, all the usual suspects, you can see them down here at the bottom screen, or you can just search Drew Berquist or This Is My Show, either one, and you should get the results. Also, if you've not subscribed already here on YouTube, please do so. You can do it right down here in the corner. If you're listening on the podcast, come on over. We'd love for you to subscribe and catch out the show too, because there's a lot of visuals that you do miss if you're listening to just the podcast. And for those of you watching and want to listen to the podcast while you're driving or taking a walk or running or whatever, you can find it on any major podcast platform out there, so please do so. All right, on the other side, we're going to get to this exchange on Fox News where Newt Gingrich is talking to Harris Faulkner and the ladies of Outnumbered, and George Soros comes up, and man, does it get awkward. We'll get to it on the other side. Stick around.
Mammoth Nation is the discount club for conservatives. You get great discounts on name brand products and services, and the proceeds help candidates who support the right causes. Plus, the money you save from just one purchase can pay for your entire membership. Liberal Democrats are destroying America, and we can't let Joe Biden be president. It's time to join the fight. Strength in numbers. We give the silent majority a resounding voice. Go to mammothnation.com and let's win this fight together.
All right, we got kind of a dirty story, but we're going to get clean right now. This segment is sponsored by Hero Soap Company. They've got awesome products, y'all. You can see this right here. Their packaging kicks some serious ass, too. Not just what's inside, also the packaging. Packaging matters. Should be a shirt. So you got to check them out. They're a veteran-owned company. They put a ton of effort and focus into getting homeless veterans off the street by partnering and donating to Operation Finally Home. And their soap is off the chain. What's in this package, off the chain, it's made with all natural, made with essential oils, none of the fragrance chemicals that competitor soap companies out there are using that are also harmful to you, by the way. So pretty awesome. Plus, it's made in Arizona, right here in the U.S., veteran-owned company, U.S. made, donates to getting vets off the street. Like, what's not to like on all of this? So head on over to herosoapcompany.com and subscribe for a no-contract monthly delivery of soap straight to your front door and never run out again. It's herosoapcompany.com. Let freedom clean. All right, so there was a time, right, when Drudge Report was huge. And go with me with this for a second. But Drudge Report was huge. Conservatives flocked to it. Great aggregate site that had all sorts of different news to kind of keep you up to date on things. They'd break stuff. They'd share great stuff from other sites. And then we saw, I don't know, a year or two ago, it start to pivot. And it start to change. And start to become very anti-Trump. Still conservative finger parents, but anti-Trump. They turned on the president. And now fast forward to present day, and it's just an all-out Democrat site. It's not, if you're still going to Drudge Report and you haven't noticed that, like, don't go there anymore. It's an awful site. They've tried to pull the wool over their eyes, and they were smart and strategic in it. Is, hey, we're going to buy the biggest conservative site out there, and we're going to slowly change the content and see if people, A, we're going to monetize it and make lots of money off it, but B, see if we can slowly change the narrative on the page and slowly change the hearts and the minds of some of the readers. Most of you are smart and just stopped. You saw it happening. You're like, I'm out of here. But it's happened. And I kind of feel like that's what's happening with Fox News. I've seen the comments from you guys. I know that there's a lot of you who feel that way too. But it's begun to trend left. You know, with whether it was Shep when he was still there, a lot of the other daytime hosts, a lot of the contributors that they've brought in, the Donna Brazils of the world, Juan Williams is, wow, he's something. But you've seen that trend, you know, since the Suns took over and the leadership has been different, it's been going that way subtly. Yes, you still have your stalwarts in the night with Tucker and Laura and Sean and whatnot, and those are great shows, and hopefully the smart people upstairs are really not that smart, but hopefully they're smart enough to realize we can't ever touch this because these are our guys. These are the money makers. So it's going to be interesting. Do you stick with principle and say we're going to trend left because that's what we want to do, or do you stick with money and we're capitalists and we want this to grow, or try and find some blend? I don't know, but it's definitely been going that way. And this was just another example of how it is. And I like Harris Faulkner. I think that she's good. I don't particularly love Outnumbered. I actually don't really particularly like The Five either. I don't like those larger group shows. I like Gutfeld. I like some of the individuals within those shows. I just don't like that platform the way they do it. But if you do, that's totally fine. That's my preference. But this was Outnumbered yesterday, and the former House Speaker Newt Gingrich was on, and they were talking about violence on the streets, and it got really awkward after he got pushback after bringing up Soros, and then it got really awkward, and basically the producers, you could tell, just said we're done here and stopped it. Roll the clip, roll three.
Every one of those businesses is a family, is a face, is a person,
yeah,
who is now struggling and has no way to support their family. That's who I want to see in this hearing. I want America to see the faces of these people whose lives have been destroyed by this violence.
Yeah, it's so true. They represent everybody, right? Speaker Gingrich, I know you have a final thought for us.
Yeah, look, the number one problem in almost all these cities is George Soros elected left-wing, anti-police, pro-criminal district attorneys who refuse to keep people locked up. Just yesterday, they put somebody back on the street who's wanted for two different murders in New York City. You cannot solve this problem, and both Harris and Biden have talked very proudly about what they call progressive district attorneys. Progressive district attorneys are anti-police, pro-criminal, and overwhelmingly elected with George Soros' money, and they're a major cause of the violence we're seeing, because they keep putting the violent criminals back on the street.
I'm not sure we need to bring George Soros into this.
I was going to say you'd get the last word, Speaker.
He paid for it. I mean, why can't we discuss the fact that millions of dollars he spent?
I agree with Melissa. George Soros doesn't need to be a part of this conversation.
Okay. So it's verboten.
All right. We're going to. Okay, we're going to move on. Historic day at the White House. We covered it from stem to stem, stem to stern. For major change.
So really awkward, right? You've got these women who push back, don't want to talk about Soros, who should be talked about. Why more isn't being done about Soros? Why he's not being talked about more? Why there's not more transparency with Soros? Shows some of the serious problems we've got in the swamp, shows some of the serious problems we've got in the media, shows some of the serious problems we've got in a lot of areas. Because anyone and everyone out there can argue, because you can follow enough of the money to see, okay, he's at minimum involved in a lot of this stuff. Is he the only person involved? I don't know. Maybe DOJ knows. Maybe my former organizations know. I don't know. But there needs to be some more transparency about it, certainly within the media. Like, there shouldn't be classified information going out there. But in terms of readily available stuff, the narrative needs to clear up on him. And you can kind of just like almost see or visualize, hear, whatever, the producer in Harris's ear there saying, don't respond. Nope, don't respond. Just let it go. We're gonna cut away. The whole thing was really awkward. You could see that Newt was uncomfortable. Like, this is clearly he's got a hand in this, but you guys are unwilling to talk about it. Just ridiculous. And this is on the heels too. We're seeing new data come out, and I'm sure you've seen this in other sources out there as well. But you know, these peaceful protests that are out there that Soros does have involvement in is leading to the biggest bill, insurance bills for repair that we've maybe ever seen. They're saying it's going to be between $1 and $2 billion because of the arson, vandalism, looting, all that stuff, blowing past the record set by the Rodney King riots back in 92. So again, if I knew the information, I would say it definitively, but I'm not saying he's the only one behind it. Likely he is not. Like, when things are this organized behind the scenes and there's people showing up at these protests who, when geofence, when you look at their cell phone data, you can see that they have been at all that they were in Ferguson. They were in Charlotte. They were in Charlottesville. They were here. They were in Kenosha. They were here. Those are paid agitators, folks. Those are paid agitators. There's lots of data out there that shows that the violence in the streets, the arrest records, they're not arresting people from the towns. You're seeing a vast majority of the people arrested being from out of the area. So these riots are not just spontaneous, and these riots are not just locals getting pissed off about something. It's locals' businesses getting burned. They're not happy about it. Even in Portland, you see 60% in that one poll. 60% doesn't want the violence in the streets there. They don't like it. The media always says, because Ted Wheeler says it and Antifa and these other folks say it, that no, it's good. We want this. We want progressive change. Yeah, that's what it looks like. I don't know why you would want that. But to shoot him down and not talk about it. Okay, you don't want to go into it forever, but just ignoring it is not good. It's not helpful. It scares me with where Fox is going. Because I tell you, some of the other networks that are out there on the conservative side give some good information. They're not necessarily high quality, but there's not a ton of other great content out there on that side. So we can't lose the only good thing we've got over there. And we are. I mean, we already are losing it. But we've got to fight. Just like everything else out there, we've got to figure out how to fight to still share reason, to still share the truth, facts, and then let people decide. But it's getting harder and harder to do. It's disappointing to see. So apologies to Newt Gingrich that he had to take part in that. And I feel bad for Harris too, because I don't think she liked how that went either. I think she was stuck between a rock and a hard place there. All right, on the other side, we're going to be joined by a former Navy SEAL, member of SEAL Team 6. This guy knows what he's doing. Great American. He's also an author. Justin Sheffield will join us to discuss his book. That's all coming up. Stick around.
Do you love freedom? Do you love being clean? Then you'll love Hero Soap Company, made in the USA. Chemical and fragrance free. A portion of each purchase donated to veteran and first responder charities. Initial subscription purchase is matched bar for bar and sent overseas to deploy troops. Let freedom clean. Hero Soap Company.
All right, welcome back, folks. We got a true patriot that we're about to spend some time with, excited about this. Justin Sheffield, a retired Navy SEAL, spent 15 years with teams, 10 of which with Dev Group. He's an awesome warrior for this country, but he's also an author of Mob 6, a SEAL team operator's battle in the fight for good over evil. And Justin joins us now. Justin, good to see you.
Hey, man. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thanks first and foremost for your service. It's amazing. I've worked with some of you guys. It's amazing what you do. You're awesome Americans, and I just am grateful for that.
Thank you.
So this book. So we've got this book. You got out. Let me take a step back. I guess give the audience a sense of what the book's about.
Sure.
I've got it. We can read the back of it, but I like to get it from your words. What's this story? What's it share?
Sure. So it's based on my life. The majority of the book, it starts out actually with a really, really low time of my life, maybe the lowest, I guess. But it takes you through my life and the teams. It's based on, a dozen deployments, probably. And then it takes you all the way through sort of the end and how it culminates in the bad spot that I was at the end there and getting medically retired. Kind of what veterans are going through right now and what we're doing to help them. So it's definitely very violent. You're in my head through combat, certainly through the first time I engaged anybody, all the way through the last time. So I've had an extraordinary experience when I was in the Navy. I got to be a part of a lot of, obviously a lot of combat operations, being at SEAL Team 6, in a period where we were, raging at war on multiple battlefronts, not just, Iraq and Afghanistan, but really all over, against, this Islamic jihad.
Yeah. So. Well, it's been such unprecedented times too. Like, for all of us who joined up in our respective jobs to go take the fight to the enemy after 9/11, I mean, this has been all out, constant deployment cycles, constant everything. Like you it's just a different generation of warrior that's out there now. And what's been experienced by people like yourself because of just the pace. I mean, the pace is crazy.
That's right. The pace. I don't think any of us, we didn't know. Looking back, I probably should have taken a break in there. We didn't know it was going to keep going. And of course, I'd say the second half of my career under the last administration was quite different. Just the way that we were going about warfare over there and the rules of engagement changing and so on. But, I believe that we were there for the right reasons. I know a lot of people are against all of it. To include, especially Iraq, but I would say that just having been over there, and I think I can, speak for a lot of my friends that went over, it wasn't in vain. These were very bad people. We were taken off the battlefield and really restoring some liberty to the people that live there that were being completely oppressed and terrorized. So I think that it was the right decision. I try not to get in too much into the whole conspiracies about 9/11 and weapons of mass destruction and so on, but I absolutely agree with what we were doing over there, and I also agree with President Trump right now ending it, or trying to end it, because if we don't have this, we do a really good job going into a place with clear-cut guidance on what needs to happen, but we have no off-ramp. So
yeah. No, we always get into nation building. Things expand. I think I totally agree with everything you just said. I think, you know, where we tend to go wrong is where we're best is you look at the early part of Afghanistan, or you look at the early part of either of them, frankly, when that footprint is smaller and lighter and you've got the most highly trained, the best boots on the ground in all aspects, whether you're talking intel, soft, whatever. I feel like we're so much more effective there. But then the mission, you know, the mission gets muddied. You know, it did change a lot under I saw a ton of change under Obama as well. You have all this stuff start to change, and then everyone just kind of does get confused. Like, wait a minute, why are we here again? Like, right. I thought we were just here to kill AQ and the Taliban and try and make this place better. But it does. It gets confusing, and I think that gets lost back here at home when your command or someone is telling you to go this way full steam ahead, because people who are doing these types of jobs aren't just kind of creeping and crawling. I mean, they're hauling ass in this direction.
Right.
And then you get the big stop, we're going here. It's hard to deal with that.
It is. It's hard to deal with that. It's hard to keep up with it sometimes. And then, you know, the families, God bless them all. They're back at home. They're trying to, you know, keep life going. Certainly my family and those of us in the soft community and in really any military community for the U.S., it's, you know, you're limited on what you can tell your family on what's going on. When I would get home, it would be a quick, you know, rinse and get ready for the repeat. You know what I'm saying? So we knew we were going right back over. And, you know, it's kind of how I go both ways with it. I love doing what I did. I wouldn't change it for anything. I encourage young people all the time. You know, if you're thinking military, if you're thinking Navy SEAL or Marine Recon or whatever it is, man, I mean, I almost went in the Marine Corps. You know, if you're thinking U.S. military, do it. It was an amazing life. Yes, it's very dangerous. Of course you can die. But the enemies of our country, you know, we are the one that stands differently than the rest of the world. I will say that. We stand with our allies and we're always going to protect these people. It's amazing what's happening right now. I've got to say it with Israel and what just happened with this peace treaty. I mean, I never thought I would see something like that. Yeah. And it's just, I mean, we're in the right direction, I feel like, but, there's also quite a bit of evil right here on our own turf now, and it's pretty exposed. So
And it's frustrating. I know it is for me. I talk about it a lot on here, and I'm sure it is for you. It's really frustrating to spend so much time over there with the best people. You work with, you know, the best operators, the best, everyone who's there, like for the most part, people are there because they want to be there, and they literally red, white, and blue is pumping through their veins. And you bust your ass, you put yourself in harm's way, you lose friends, you have bad things happen, then you come home. And you see this threat from within rising up, who never really understood what America was in the first place, certainly doesn't now, pushing back and fighting back. It's really, really depressing, I think, to see that. It's like, golly, like we were doing this for you guys, and we were, but like it's hard to stomach that when you see the people in the streets these days.
It is, you know, I've seen an overwhelming love as well from American patriots that used to stay silent, and we're seeing that change, which is awesome. But you're absolutely right, man. There is an evil in the streets right now to which I've never seen in this country, not this widespread. And then you look at who's backing it and who's funding it, and we're talking about a political party running for office and public elected officials that are supposed to be upholding our Constitution and what we all believe in and our awesome American flag, you know, and what we stand for, freedom. It's being attacked like never before. I would go so far as a Christian to say this is absolute, you know, Satan manifested. We're watching it, and we have to remain this beacon, whether you believe in that or not. It's, you know, America is the beacon for the world for freedom, and we are going to stand up for those who cannot. But that's not going to change.
Yeah. No, I think there's definitely some serious spiritual warfare going on right now. There's a lot going on. It's a lot to take in, but it's important that people do have their hand on the right book and kind of have
That's
a pulse
right.
on where things are right now, because you got to know who you are. You got to stand up. I mean, it's not just standing up for America. It's standing up for your faith. It's standing up for, you know, your whatever. If it's your political beliefs. The bend the knee kind of thing that's happening right now across the country and the placating to people, that drives me insane too. But let's do this. Why did you decide to write this book?
Sure. Thank you. So, 2000, I think it was, 14 time frame, I got sent to a place called NICO. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's at Bethesda. Really good place, you know, but I left there on a kind of a swath of medication, like a lot of people. One of the forms of, I guess, holistic treatment was writing, and I really enjoyed it. And I had a leader one time that I still look up to this day, but he, you know, he's like, write as if you were going to die tomorrow. What would you want your boys to know? They're little guys at the time. And it was pretty easy after that, you know, what's important. And, you know, so that I had a purpose behind it. And, you know, I actually walked away from it for a long time and published it this year, really for the awareness to the foundation. I almost killed myself. There was a point of time where I was very much looking forward to it and planned it out. And I have several friends that have done that. And it's kind of terrorizing looking back, terrifying, I should say, looking back and thinking about it and knowing that there's other people right now, probably that we even know, military-wise, that are contemplating this. And, you know, part of this foundation, segueing from the book to this foundation, is getting that awareness out there that there is hope. And what we're doing is really helping folks. But the other side of that is, you know, the gospel message, because we are going to die, those of us that don't make it to the rapture, whatever that's going to be. But, you know, this is something that's coming, and we do a lot to prepare for our retirement and the latter part of our life. But a lot of times we don't think about eternity. And I just want people to hear that and hear that message, because the word is, it's unchanging and it's everlasting, and everything that you would need is there. That would be what I would proclaim and declare, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think, too, if you look at all this negative stuff that's happening around, not just 2020, 2020 is awful, but all of it in general is, I mean, this isn't home. Like, we're not home. If you believe that, you know that this is a broken world. You're here. It's a blip on the radar in terms of time and eternity. Like, don't focus on the here and the now. It doesn't mean that you can't make an impact here and now, but there's a bigger picture for sure. I appreciate that you do that. Okay, so... where's the best place? I want to direct people to your charity, All Eagles Oscar, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to have you back to talk about that. But where's the best place first to find your book and for people to follow you?
I apologize about my dogs barking, if you can hear them.
No, they're good.
They hear me talking. Okay, cool. So Amazon has the book. You can get it right now. Still waiting on the audio to come out. I recorded it several months ago. COVID's kind of messed everything up, it sounds like. But you can get the book on Amazon. AllEaglesOscar.org is our foundation website. And, you know, if you're somebody out there that's hearing this message and you're contemplating what we've been talking about as far as suicide, or you're on all kinds of meds or whatever, check us out. The treatment that we're doing is non-intrusive. It's magnetic resonance and really phenomenal results. For myself and from what I've seen, we've treated hundreds of veterans at this point. It's pretty amazing stuff.
I love it. Well, thanks again for your service. Thanks for doing All Eagles Oscar. Folks, you can check that out on that site we showed there, AllEaglesOscar.org. We'll have Justin back to talk specifically about that and the awesome work that they're doing. Go get a copy of his book. Be sure to do that and share with friends. Justin, thanks so much for being here.
And thank you so much for having me.
You got it. All right, folks, we appreciate you tuning in today. Lots that we covered. We've still got more. We're going to talk about this Michelle Obama statement that I kind of discussed earlier in After Hours. So if you're listening on the podcast, you can just hang out right here. It'll lead right into After Hours. If you're watching, head on over to the After Hours segment of the show on the YouTube channel. You can do the same thing over on DrewBerkwist.com. If you're taking off, again, we appreciate you being here. Remember, folks, we've all got opinions, ideas. We've got our own, you know, spiritual values, everything. It's important that we discuss them. We respect each other's. But this is my show, and we hope you enjoyed it. See you tomorrow. All right, welcome to After Hours. You guys been listening to this new Michelle Obama podcast? I haven't. I assume you guys haven't either. But it's been making waves. Because anything she touches, you know, the left and the media adores. She can do no wrong. She can do no wrong. But I don't have a lot on this. I just want to spend a couple minutes on. But there's a headline over something that she said this week on her podcast that I thought was remarkable. And she talked about just how, here's the quote, actually. When we were in the White House, her and Barry, when they were in the White House for 8 years, gosh, that was rough too, right? It was not easy. But we were respectful, at least most of us were. I know I was. I was still respectful of the office of the president. I met him once. I was honored to do so and was respectful. Like, you still are respectful, which is not how anyone acts now towards President Trump. But she said this. I digress. Get back to it. And when we were in the White House, we could have never gotten away with some of the stuff that's going on now, Michelle said, referring to Trump, not because of the public, but our community wouldn't have accepted that. So she has came out, she kind of reiterated it in a different point too. We could have never gotten away with what Trump has gotten away with. To which I would say, what has he gotten away with? He's not been perfect. No one is. But he has been up against the biggest battle against the mainstream media, the Soros and Democrat donors of the world, violent groups on the street, mayors and governors who refuse to cooperate with him, and people like you, Michelle, and you, Barack, and your appointed leaders across different intelligence organizations and law enforcement organizations, who literally, there's now data and information that you spied on his campaign. You signed, what was it, 276 executive orders forcing your agenda down people's throat while you were serving in the White House. Whether it was the cages that started under, everyone's so mad about cages on the border, which most of which is blown out of proportion in the first place, but you're mad about cages, started under Obama. You're mad about this? Let's look to where this really happened and where this started. Some of the things that were pushed by this, the Obama administration and Michelle and her husband during their 8 years pales in comparison to what Trump has done. And literally, you can break down so many different stats. You can talk about who is better for economy, who is better for this, or whatever. And Trump is succeeding and doing better. And Trump is restoring faith in America from our allies. And he's restoring fear in the hearts of our enemies overseas, because we're not apologizing for being awesome like we were under Obama. We're not saying, hey, We're not gonna allow our people, our soldiers, our special operators, our intel operators, we're not gonna allow them to fully do their job because we don't want to upset you. And we know that you're gonna play with no rules, but we'll play with rules. We're gonna let you, Russia, walk all over us. We're gonna let you, Iran, totally swindle us. We're gonna start negotiating with terrorists. We're gonna start doing all of this stuff that happened under the Obama administration. And they got away with, and somehow are still adored, even though it was a failed 8 years. They have huge Netflix deals. They have all these things going for them. The media adored them. Sure, there were some channels out there who didn't, but over 90% of the media is diehard left. So they adored him. And he, on the surface, when he's giving his speeches, he's articulate. He's got energy. Like, you can see why Democrat voters liked him. You can see why the media got behind him. In some regard, but follow through and actually delivering or doing anything positive was never his thing. Scandals, very much his thing. A lot of really bad stuff happened under his watch, and they thought they got away with it, and some of it's starting to come to bear with this Durham probe. I don't think a whole lot's going to happen. I know that disappoints you. I don't think a ton is going to happen with all of that. I think some stuff will. There's been some encouraging stuff with subpoenas being allowed for Brennan and Comey and Clapper and some of them. But it just is remarkable that these people, and Michelle in particular, think they can go out and say, Trump bad, me good. Like, it's a simple, dumb statement like that, which I feel like it has to be said in Neanderthal language, because it's that dumb. Like, it's like the violence that you see in the streets. It's like everything. Like, no, that's not happening. No, we can see. Like, this is a new era. Like, yes, this new era sucks, and it's hard for President Trump because everyone's attacking him on a daily basis. No one lets him get anything passed. No one gives him any love or support in the media, where if it was this awful country that everyone says it is on the left, you wouldn't be able to attack the president like that without serious consequences. If you were in Russia, you'd be disappeared. But But they just say that he's bad, we're awesome, we couldn't have gotten away with this when you got away with everything, and people buy it. Like, I just don't understand why people buy it. But I had to bring it up because I found it remarkable. Again, they were involved in so many scandals. They were involved in so much crap during their 8 years between he, Biden, you know, Susan Rice, Hillary, all the stuff that happened. Like, there's a lot that happened under your watch. Not all of it's necessarily your fault, but how you handle it, it is. And that definitely is. And what Trump's gotten away with, loving America and, you know, re-inspiring this, that we can do things differently in politics. It doesn't have to be the same as it was for so long in this country with an establishment Democrat or establishment Republican. So, wanted to share it with you. Be sure, folks, if you haven't already, to give us a like on Facebook, Twitter, Parler. You can see all those right down here. Just search Drew Berquist. This is my show. You'll find it. Also, if you've not subscribed on YouTube, you can do so right down here in the corner. If you're listening, we'd love it if you came over to YouTube and subscribed. We love seeing the followership grow, the base grow. We love the comments and feedback from you guys, so keep up with that as well. Share with your friends, family, colleagues. Even if you're not allowed to go into work because of COVID, you can still share the link. So please do it. We appreciate it. We've got a lot more to bring you tomorrow. Looking forward to doing it, and we will see you then.